Welcome. I'm Christy King, your host of the FanReach podcast. Each episode features conversations recorded over several weeks with experts in the sports entertainment business. From former NFL players and current sports business experts Kenyon Rashid and Brian Jones to FanReach's leadership team, you're going to hear insightful and instructive observations on the present and future of technology in the sports business. I hope you enjoy this podcast enough to look for more great conversations from us in future episodes. You can also follow FanReach on YouTube and LinkedIn to keep up with the latest in sports mobile app technology. Let's get started. If you're talking about games and artificial reality and, you know, games leading to betting in some way, shape, or form, all of that stuff is engagement that doesn't, that obviously can be tied very tightly to the game of the day, but also leads you to be able to do some things off season, you know, outside of the 3 to 6 months a year that your sport takes place.
There's a reason the NFL push back their free agency period, and then they further push back the NFL draft because they wanted to remain in the news cycle year round, and they've accomplished that.
The number one investment opportunity in sports business right now are tools that augment the viewing experience, because we're not in the stadium these days. So what the pandemic has really opened teams' eyes is if they can't come in our venue, we can't reach them. We don't know who they are. It has made the importance of identity that much more important when you come to a stadium. We now have to identify you so we know where you're at. So if things happen and we can't get a touch with you, we know how to reach you. Now, how do we know that these things are happening? Teams are starting to realize, and I think BJ said this last week, that they are now sports and entertainment companies and not teams, because it's very hard to sustain the operational cost around 8 home games a year. So what you see now is amphitheaters being built around stadiums to have auxiliary concerts. You see restaurants, you see entertainment districts being built around the stadium. Why? Because we want you more to come back to our stadium more than 8 times a year and start using the cash conversion that we're looking at our touch points that we control. Because the more you do that, the more data we can collect on you. I always say, think about Disney. Disney has a great model, because you can go to a Disney park, you can buy at a restaurant, but that information, even though it may be Chick-fil-A's or whatever that restaurant is going upstairs to Disney. It's going through that park. Teams and owners are starting to realize the power in their audience that they can attract over and over again. Now, being able to identify who they are, where they're coming from, and what those likes and dislikes are is the stage that we're in today. But that's what makes the mobile platform so critical in that identity process, because we know everybody's walking into that stadium with a phone. We know in the next 2 years, you will not be able to use a paper ticket. You're going to have to use the phone. So who happens to run the platform on the phone? FanReach. So we play a critical role in helping teams get that identity and get that remote connection. And then the marketing and the strategy that goes within that with our partners and Pronto and Real Life Tech and VenueTize and VenueNext and all the partners that we have. Our goal is ultimately to blend it together to get you to that end objective of driving conversions, driving engagement, and driving identity in your fan base.
What are some of the things that teams can do maybe in the moment or very soon after that they kind of really wouldn't be able to do without that analytics platform being available?
You go first on this, BJ. I might talk too long. It's a big thing, because we in our industry use the word data and analytics a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would always ask, what does data mean to you? What does analytics mean to you? We can pull as much data and analytics on people as we possibly can, but if it doesn't give you an answer that you're looking for, what good is it? And it needs to be an answer at the time of relevance. You need to understand what they're doing, when they're doing it, and when they ask the question and push them toward an objective that they want and that you want to provide. So example, take you through the fan journey, right? My favorite player, let's say, is Jared Goff. So I would be able to identify as a Jared Goff fan at some point of my fan journey of buying a ticket and giving you my identity. Why? Jared Goff wants to send you a personal message when you welcome to the stadium. Jared Goff then says, hey, I see you just checked in at parking lot A, go to Pro Shop B at the stadium and get 15% off of my jersey. And after you buy the jersey, if you want a Coke, I'm going to lead you to the concession stand for that inducement. Now, to do that, you've got to know when that fan arrives at the stadium. You got to know where they're at on that fan journey. And by the way, we're going to have one of our senior ticket analysts come talk to you at your seat because we noticed this was your first time buying a ticket. We just want to give you a VIP treatment and make sure that your experience is going according to plan. Now, that is a white glove service as opposed to me just coming to the stadium with a ticket and doing all of these touch points and you not knowing what the hell I'm doing because I haven't opted into an app, right? But I had to buy a ticket. I had to have a mobile. So I have something on my phone. Is that a team app? Is that a Ticketmaster app? The teams can incentivize at a very low cost people to engage with the app. So I can start pulling these behavioral patterns. At the end of the day, what I want to know, if you bought a hot dog, are you more likely to buy something else? And what is that item? And how do I attract you to that? Are you a season ticket holder? Or am I in danger of losing you as a season ticket holder based upon your engagement patterns that we've noticed you haven't been engaging more? Maybe you're not going into the player. So now I put you in a cohort that says we need to pay some attention to this group here because we're in danger of losing them as season ticket holders. Then we see first-time ticket buyers that are more likely to buy season tickets. Now, how do we identify that? Maybe they bought a Jared Goff jersey. Maybe they went to other touch points around the stadium that now we can identify that they said, you know, they pretty much experienced the venue. They could probably be a cohort for a season ticket holder. So being able to group these things are what analytics mean to teams by all of these actions that you put within the app.
I got all excited and stomped all over you because you're making a spectacular point about what teams can do now post COVID, right? If they've done a really good job between when this hit the fan a year ago this month and now into the coming months, because we're not done yet. If they did kind of a lot of this stuff right, you know, and again, to give everybody credit here, because oh my God, we were all trying to, everybody, this was insane and everybody had to figure it out. But if you actually kind of stuck to your guns and you put out content and you put out engaging things through this app, what happens now, right, based on what you're saying is as people now potentially come back to the stadium, they're even more engaged and more invested in the team than they were before COVID.
Exactly. Which
is, I never thought about that till you kind of alluded to, then you understand who these people are and you're continuing to, it's not just using the data. You're actually improving the fan's experience with your team.
And you're improving that relationship with that fan and catering to them to a certain extent. Now, when they're on their drive to that stadium, I can upsell them, hopefully, you know, in real time. That's where we want to get to because of their commitment to the organization, their commitment to the team. And, you know, they're a rabid fan of ours. And they've always been supportive. So let's incentivize them by giving them an opportunity to upgrade their seats or upgrade their parking. Or here's a discount on an item once you get to the stadium. So, yeah, you're trying to curry favor with them all the time and keep them within the fold. So how do we go about doing that? It's going to be via that that mobile platform.
And then the analytics is also for the team perspective to also from FanReach to tell you what is not working. Because we all have campaigns that we think are going to just blow out the water. We're going to get everybody. And then we find out that certainly didn't work that well. Now, the question is, are you finding that out halfway through and one game, or you finding that out 3 games later because you didn't have access to the data to tell you to change immediately? So one thing that data provides us, the right data, is the ability to adapt and the ability to turn based on what we're seeing. Now, to do that, you have to have an overreaching 360-degree view of your business. So think about a team and a venue. So you have two entities. You have a sports organization and you have the venue operating as well. Traditionally, the team sometimes doesn't control the venue. So they're trying to get data back from the venue to make decisions about season ticket holders and things. And that doesn't necessarily happen simultaneously and concurrently. So it's hard for me to react and change things. Like I said, if I ask my son, who's 23, what will drive you to a game? We went to a Rams game at the Coliseum, compliments of legends, who was trying to get our client to sponsor their stadium as a naming rights deal for $20 million. My question was, if I can take my son, and I want to ask him, if he had the money, would he buy season tickets and go through this experience? Now, they laid it out. I mean, tailgate party, food was fabulous. Now, me at my age, I'd prefer to sit inside air conditioning and eat and watch television of the game. I don't really need to be out. But for him and his friends, that experience, he was like, Dad, I'd buy it. Now, if we got to go through the gates and wait in line and do what everybody else does, I prefer to watch it at home. And that is what teams are struggling with now, is that home viewing experience is outstanding. So if you want me to get in my car and drive to your stadium and spend 3.5 hours watching a football game, it got to be more than just what I'm seeing on the field. That's got to be an experience for me. And I'm going to leave it up to you to figure out what I want. Mm-hmm. So that's what data represents to teams and to fans. And the fan is not telling you how to get it. He's not going to tell you how to use it. You have to figure that out. So I asked a lot of companies, tech companies, and I won't mention any other names. Have you ever been in a parking lot with fans? Have you ever sat through tailgate parties? Have you seen the interaction between them and players? We have. We understand how crazy fans are. We understand the little things that attract them and the little things that put them off. We bring that perspective to the teams as FanReach because of BJ and I's experience. Mm-hmm. I want you to point to another competitor in the market that has that perspective. Because if you're a team and you're trying to attract, that's who you say you, that's your fan audience. You, that's who you want to attract. Who are you listening to? I'll leave
guys
it.
Guys in suits. I'm pretty sure it's guys in suits.
Well, if you ain't been at a tailgate party and ain't been down there and you ain't, you, it really does give you, it opened my eyes because I couldn't understand how a fan that has a normal job could pay a $90,000 seat license to be in a stadium and really can't afford it. And what I found out was to them, it's tradition. It is once a week getting together with family and friends that they've been doing since they've been kids. And they'd be damned if they're going to let that tradition go. Mm-hmm. And whether it's 2 degrees outside, raining, it doesn't matter. And they laid out with food and everything. It's tradition. But what fantasy has done and what betting has done a little bit, like I said before, is it's taking the emphasis off teams and it's put it back on players, which means that now teams have to bring it back where the emphasis is back on teams. That's what we have the opportunity to do, is put the focus back on the team, leveraging the players as the attraction.
Well, thanks for joining us for this episode of the FanReach podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. It's always a pleasure for me to hear the unique perspective on sports entertainment from Kenyon and BJ. Not many of us had the talent to play professional sports, so I feel like it's a pretty instructive experience to hear how they see the industry, having participated in sports as players, commentators, business owners, consultants, fans, and parents of fans, and now as experts helping us more clearly see the intersection of technology and entertainment. Be sure to follow FanReach on your podcasting platform of choice or YouTube and LinkedIn. That way you can keep up with the latest in sports mobile app technology from FanReach.